Hello,
Puma Man.
And welcome to the Puma Man. And also the Cubicorn Games podcast.
But more importantly, the Puma Man.
Humanin.
My name is Dustin Morbido. We've been introducing people to things. Although Brian was familiar at least a little bit. But
I was familiar, but not in the same sense.
We'll get into it.
I've never seen that one. That was new.
In any case, my name is Dustin Morbido. Joining me here today, Lorraine Morbido.
It's true.
Jillian Ferriulo. And Brian Taylor.
The Puma Man.
A.K.A. the Puma Man.
The designated Puma Man.
We are here to talk about video games and other things.
Bad 80s movies.
Including some really, really top shelf
cover of this. I guess what that's gonna look like.
Just gonna get the guy going.
Really top shelf Mystery Science 3000 episodes.
Good old 90s.
It's pretty good.
I mean, I have seen that one before.
So if you haven't heard of Mystery Science 3000 period, Mystery Science Theater 3000. Thank you. Fixed it. Go Google it. It's pretty cool.
Go Netflix. We've all got Netflix.
Basically, it's a TV show perpetrated around people watching and goofing on, like bad, like grungy old movies.
D movies.
Maybe even E sometimes.
And it just had
I've seen Manos Hands of Fate on that. That movie.
They're Y movies.
Sure.
Maybe even Z.
That brief description doesn't really do justice to kind of how weird and goofy and fun the individual episodes are and like the premise they set up for everything. But it involves space and robots.
It does.
And pumas.
Sometimes.
Humanins.
And occasionally Puma Man.
Aliens procreate with humans. All three. You get a Puma Man. Mm-hmm. It's true. It just makes sense.
But that series just had its reboot launch on Netflix, so you can check out both old and new episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000 on Netflix as we speak. We've watched two of the new ones, and they're pretty good. Like, not too bad. I think we're going to maybe get into other crowdfunded reboots later on in this podcast.
Got things to say.
I have to say, after two episodes of that, and I told Lorraine, that was the thing that I probably would have funded, but I feel like I didn't know about.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about the campaign to reboot MST3K until it was over. I was like, I'm glad that got funded or whatever. But
go Netflix.
After two episodes of that, I was like, because after I had heard that it had been funded, it was happening, I was like a little apprehensive. I was like, I don't know, man, maybe not, but I'm glad they brought it back. I think they did a good job, better than lots of old things that people loved that
the old becoming new.
The old becoming new.
I like how they're making a new Dirty Dancing.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Making it. I'm like, why? The first one was just fine.
Yeah.
We can just leave that there.
Right. Like, there's some things I agree should be rebooted.
Sure.
Could be revived, and some things that shouldn't
be.
Exactly. It's like you can't put Baby in a corner, and then Swayze's not going to be there because he's super dead. So.
He's supposed to be back as the father. This is how these work.
Yep, you can't.
Jeez.
Maybe it's
Luke
ghost.
Coming back.
But then he was in Ghost, so awkward. Confusing.
The joke I was going to make was I'm waiting for the Ghost reboot. I was trying to imagine what she would be doing that's not, what's the 2017 equivalent of making pottery?
Tweeting.
And then, being hot and ghost-like.
Like, painting with a twist or
something. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Nice. That's a good one.
Painting a wine glass.
I like
it. And he comes behind with a brush and also
exactly.
Paints.
Uh-huh. It's real good. Yes. Thank you, Jillian.
Holding
all
a paint
over
palette
that.
For her.
Let's be real.
Indeed.
Millennials don't make pottery.
But so far, I would definitely recommend.
What's wrong with this generation?
Not pottery. Pottery. Uh-huh. No pinch pots.
I would definitely recommend Mystery Science Theater, old or new, at this point, after seeing some of the new ones. So if you have seen it before, check out some of the new ones. They're pretty good.
Or
if you haven't, go check it out.
If you want a slightly different twist on them, there is their website, Riff Tracks.
Sure.
Which is they do more modern movies, but you supply the movie, basically. You buy the MP3 of their commentary over it, sync them up with the movie, and play them at the same time. And
We recently watched the Twilight Saga of Riff Trash.
Oh, geez.
Start to finish.
We were watching that before streaming on Thursday.
Magical times. I think that might be the only way I could watch Twilight.
It's really good.
It makes it better.
It makes it so much better.
I would watch it again with the Riff Trash.
Because we had, happenstancially, we had my sorority sister Andrea over. Because we were helping her with some laptop stuff, and we were on the last one. So we all watched it together before she had to go, and she was just dying. And then she sent me a Snapchat yesterday of her watching the same movie again. She's like, I am dying right now. So I don't know if she was watching it with the Riff Tracks or just
watching the
by
movie.
Itself, you but I think can't. We changed her life.
You can't look at it again the same way.
It's really something.
Can you superimpose some chairs and a guy? And,
I mean, you probably could if you, like...
Black construction paper on my TV.
Because it's all... It's Mike Crow and Tom Servo are their actors. Yeah,
right. The latter day Crow. Because I think Servo was always the same, but I think Crow's voice changed once, even in the old run.
Maybe,
I think some of the Joel episodes, he was different. But in any case...
It's really funny.
Yeah, it's really good. And the other thing about that is it got me thinking about how people discover stuff.
Because
I picked up that show just from being, like, I feel like it was probably around, like, early-ish, like, high school. And it was either in its run, because there was a period when it was on Comedy Central, and then there was a period when it was on Sci-Fi Network. And
Sci-Fi
it would just,
is where I saw it.
Yeah, it would just be on late at night, you know, just, like, midnight, 1 in the morning, this is on. And I just was flipping the channels and found it that way. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just like, oh, man, this is really something. But, like, coming into it that, like, after just, like, flicking through the TV and just landing on that... was a really fun way to figure out, like, that existed.
Some of it somewhere like that, maybe not like whole episodes,
mm-hmm.
but I had also seen like a sports version of that where they would dub over seats.
They would
dub over like roller derby footage, like random stuff like that. I think my dad actually showed me that. It was hysterical.
Cheap Seats is good too.
Really funny.
I've seen that as well.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about MXC.
Oh no, that's different, but still. Not bad.
Most extreme.
No.
That's cool. I totally forgotten all about that until you brought it up. Right on.
I kind of made that. They seemed similar enough in my mind.
Sports.
But yeah.
Yeah, I feel like
Cheap Seats is really
I feel like
fun.
There are interviews where one of those, I think MST3K was first, but there's like one influenced the other. Like
sure.
People are like, oh, let's go do this. But Cheap Seats is pretty
They didn't
cool,
like
so.
Superimpose stuff over it. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't like a theater setting. It was just like, but they had like a kind of like, I feel like it was a little, like, sci-fi-ish, kind of. I remember there being a lot of, like, industrial, like, piping in that show for some reason. Like, they had, like, a set.
Industrial piping.
Like, kind of like the MST3K
when
stuff
When they're
does.
Not watching clips or whatever. Yeah.
They went back and forth through some of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if there was enough, like, as much, like, storyline, like,
The other thing about I'm pretty sure this is true, so I'll reiterate it, but, I was watching some of the interview stuff before the, before the modern reboot, like, a couple months ago, basically. Where Joel, the original creator, was, like, going over, like, basically, like, questions and stuff like that. And if I remember correctly, the reason that they actually put the theater seats in to begin with was when that series was on its original run on, like, public access, they got they got calls from people saying that the movie was messed up.
Oh.
Because it was voices over a different film.
That's funny.
It's a good idea, though.
Mm-hmm.
I love the seats.
Yeah, no, it's a good. It really brings it together.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good touch. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And like that show is weird because I think it actually looms large in terms of like modern internet.
It's kind of like a Let's Play.
Yeah, it's really the prototypical like thing that YouTube videos turned into, where it's just people playing a thing, or you know, it's like the original reaction video.
Sure.
It's a lot more thought out and like.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're all scripted.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, it's that, right? It's people goofing on a thing.
It's good.
Really bad things. Well, you know. Like the Pumaman.
That's a lot of fun. Go look it up. Go check it out. It's a good time. So that's one of the things we've been watching.
Yeah.
We've also been playing a couple of things.
It's true.
And I'm going to let Lorraine segue into what I'm assuming is a thing that she at least wants to talk about a little bit.
Yeah.
Ukulele. That also involves
she
reboots.
She has no desire.
It's true.
Not at all.
Another kickstarted reboot.
How is Ukulele?
One of which, disclosure, I backed.
Sure.
Did I say that? I did. I backed Ukulele.
How dare you?
Put your money down.
I gave them money.
I did it before it finished, so I feel like I contributed.
There you go.
Like, because, I mean, they blew up. Mm-hmm. Like, I think within the first day, they had already at least doubled their goal, and it went on for a while. Nice. And backed it the first day in pounds because they're British. But
crazy British people.
Conversions. I've been liking it so far. Man. I haven't finished it. I'm on the fifth of five worlds. I was alerted today. I have enough, like, their pages, their jigsaw puzzle stars, whatever you want to call them, to get to the end, but I just haven't gone. Because I am dead set on platinuming this game, even though I think it might kill me because of some of the terrible, stupid, retro arcade games, which are really, really bad. They're not good. I don't like them.
Tell us how you really feel. Mm-hmm.
Definitely the worst part of the game.
Sounds like a love-hate relationship.
So again, a little bit of background is, so Yooka-Laylee is basically like a Playtonic is the name of the studio. Reborn,
Playtonic Games, yes.
And there are like former Rare staffers who, yeah, exactly, they worked on those era Rare games. So like the Banjo-Kazooies, I mean, and Donkey Kong 64s.
Some of them, like, I think some of them, they might even have like the founders in there, so they probably could even like go all the way back. So a lot of what is Rare now has been like shifted out of like the old guard or what have you.
Sure. Yeah, I couldn't. Who knows who's working at whatever Rare is these days?
They're just making that Pirates game.
That's changes what monthly.
Yeah, that's so, their unless there's
that's their project, I believe, or that's
yeah, last God, what is that called? Sea of Thieves, I think, is the name of that Xbox exclusive
like MMO
pirating simulator. Yeah. Simulator might not be the right word, but MMO, you know, it's high seas.
You have a crew. Yeah. You have a ship.
I actually want to know what's up with that game because they've really only showed kind of like teasery trailers of it.
Squad.
But anyway, so Yooka-Laylee is that. It is a mirror, much like Mighty No. 9 was Mega Man, but not.
But.
Well.
How was that?
I backed Mighty No. 9. It's not great.
No?
And there's like a lot of, that game is complex in like its mediocrity.
Because I hadn't heard of that, but somebody mentioned Mighty No. 9 when they were talking about Yooka-Laylee.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh,
they have the same trajectory and that they were...
I do like Mega Man.
They are Kickstarter projects made by people who made those original games who basically left the companies where they did those things and are now doing their own things. You know, they can't obviously use the same IP. They can't use Mega Man or Banjo-Kazooie in this case.
Make something really, really close.
But they're like, yeah, right, here's our analog to that. It's like, in that case, it's like, here's our other little robot boy, or, you know, in Yooka-Laylee, here's a different two animals that combine to have crazy jumping powers. And
here's that thing I really wanted to implement into Mega Man 10, but they wouldn't let me.
But Yooka-Laylee is fun, and Mighty No. 9 isn't.
I can confirm that Mighty No. 9 is not very fun. I haven't played Yooka-Laylee myself.
I can confirm that Yooka-Laylee is fun.
Yeah, Mighty No. 9.
It is perfect, but I like it a lot.
The ways that Mighty No. 9 falls down, like I can tell even just like looking at both of them that Yooka-Laylee succeeds at least a little bit in ways
like
that Mighty
No.
9 does.
Like an anime fan on prom night.
Wow.
That fucking trailer
but
for Mighty No. 9.
That's not even like, I'm not even going to hold like some of the bad marketing against him. It's just like, that game doesn't even graphically look very good.
No, it looks
like it looks
chunky.
Even, and this was a thing like.
Was it also a Unity game? Or was
no,
that
that's
unreal?
An Unreal Engine
that one's
game.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Yooka-Laylee is a Unity.
Yeah, the heartbreaking thing about Mighty No. 9 is, like, in much the way that people kind of dug through old No Man's Sky footage and kind of compared what they were selling to what the game became. Mighty No. 9 straight up looks like, when you look at some of their original, like, this is alpha footage,
it's
it
exactly
actually graphically looks, like, better than the game they put out, like, 2.5 years later.
And then they had, like, three other Kickstarter campaigns going at the same time.
Yeah, they kept asking for more money to implement things that, like, I personally don't know that, like, you know, I don't know that the game needed.
About,
like, they did a full pass of funding for, like, voice acting in, like, multiple languages. And it was like, I mean, this is fine, I guess. But, like,
English.
Just make the video game where you shoot and jump.
I mean, there is English in it.
And then just gameplay-wise, it's not, like...
Yeah.
There are ideas in there that could have been really cool, but there's just something about it that it doesn't quite come together in the way you need it to. But... Yooka-Laylee at least looks really nice. Like I said, I haven't played it, so all I can personally judge it by is, like, it looks like it's a pretty, you know, 3D game, which actually, like, I think it's actually a little impressive for how small I'm assuming the team is that worked on it.
I mean, they did, I know, I mean, I got, like, the Kickstarter updates and whatever, but they did have to, they hired in people from time to time.
Sure,
but,
lots
I mean,
of
their team is still pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to guesstimate probably maybe 30 people total working at that company. Like,
it's pretty small.
Yeah, it's a small unit.
Sure.
I mean, if you consider it an indie shop still, it's...
It's still technically more, I think it's
probably
is.
A little more than an indie shop. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Just ever so much.
I mean,
sure.
If you think about it, more of the, like, big indie studios where they have, studio. Like, people, like, offshooting from, like, AAA who've
yeah.
been in the
company. Yeah, well, yeah, that's
it. That kind of company needs a blanket term since there's so many of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah, that term still, like, indie still continues to kind of not mean anything. No. It's just, like, at its absolute most technical level, it just means, like, you're self-funded somehow. Yeah, like, you're not being published to make this thing.
Spare time.
But yeah, Ukulele seems cool. Like I said, it seems like like pretty much what they promised from, like I said, my outside point of view. And I could see people, like I could see a spectrum of different opinions on that game where, you know...
If you didn't really like the N64 era collectathon platformers, you're probably not going to like this one.
Yeah, but
it's the same thing.
Yeah, the one thing I was going to ask, which I had like kind of get the vibe from looking at it, is that like it doesn't look like it really evolves much from that formula. No. Like it's another one of those, which is, like
to
I said...
To be fair, though... That was a very prolific genre for a while, and then literally fell off the earth.
Sure.
Like, there hasn't been one of these games of this size and caliber for years now.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard some people sound like they're slightly disappointed in it, but it also seemed like their baseline was like they were expecting something a little different than I think was sold. Like, I actually think, like, unlike No Man's Sky, where, you know...
Lord knows what they... Like,
right, the sky was the limit in terms of what they were willing to tell people was in that game.
Promising us all the moons.
Like, from the get-go, Ukulele seemed like, you know, we're making exactly one of these, so if you want one, you know, give us some money.
They called it a rare revival. Like, that was their goal. They're like, yo, we worked on these games, these exact games in the day.
Yeah, so
we want to do this again.
You know, I doubt Ukulele is a perfect game, but it seems, like, very in line with, here's what we said we were going to make... And here's what we finished. Like, here's what we provided.
Probably designed to be nostalgic.
Yes.
More so than perfect.
Very much so. I would say it is the natural... If this game actually came back in, like, 90s, early 2000s, I could see it right after, like, Banjo-Tooie, which I believe is their last one that they did. Because it was... I believe it was Banjo-Kazooie, Donkey Kong 64, and then Banjo-Tooie, I think is the order.
I'm not sure.
Or
I
the last
it up
two were
if
Switch.
You want to know for sure, but...
It feels like an amalgamation of all of them. For good and bad. Some of that minigame stuff definitely comes from Donkey Kong 64 and Banjo-Tooie.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part... That's actually, aesthetically, and I can see why they didn't do it, because it's just, like, a really resource-intensive thing, but the thing that bums me out about those minigames is just, like, that it's... They didn't do, like, a second pass, and
no,
just, like, here's some 2D graphics or whatever to overlay
on
this.
I would have liked anything to mix those up. It's really... They really let me down. Those feel super shoehorned in and just unfun. And if I'm going to do what I can to finish every other aspect of this game, and maybe we'll devote a stream, maybe not like a Thursday stream, but like a different day.
Some point.
For me, just finishing these fucking minigames, because I need to beat them to actually, like, finish everything.
If you want 100%.
Yeah,
like,
you have to beat all of them twice. Once, you just have to finish them, and the second one is you have to beat the high
score threshold,
and you can't do them at the same time, which is terrible.
I've
done that for two
score.
Of them.
You should half-ass it as much as possible the first time.
They're so hard to do that, though. Some of these are impossible. They're very hard. You saw me playing some of them.
Sure.
Two of them were really easy, and the other, like, three? Yeah, there should be three.
One per world, five.
Yeah, there's one per world. They're not fun.
Right, for your own confirmation, you are correct. Banjo-Tooie came out after Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong 64 is 99.
Oh, that was
99. Banjo-Tooie is 2000.
Okay, I was putting it at 2001, 2000.
2000.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah. Banjo-Kazooie, I believe, was 98?
Maybe.
I remember 2000.
I mean, I do too.
I know, but
no,
I mean...
No, we were all alive then. None of us were infants.
When I think about it...
I'm the baby here.
Yeah. Not the mama.
98 indeed.
I was right. I did it. I'm the greatest. I would still... If I had to, like, order these games, it would definitely be Banjo-Kazooie, probably Ukulele, Banjo-Tooie, Donkey Kong 64.
Okay.
What is the
Donkey Kong 64?
What
is
that order? Is that like best to worst?
Best to worst.
Okay. So you're putting it at number two.
Mm-hmm.
Donkey Kong 64 is pretty...
There is very little I can find wrong in Banjo-Kazooie. I love that game. It is one of my favorite games of all time. No, I'm just saying, like, just asking. How dare you like that game?
Well, because there's a difference whether it's second or third. So if you were...
It is definitely above Banjo-Tooie and Donkey Kong 64. I have played both of those, actually, in the like past 3 years, probably. Mm-hmm. I've played Banjo-Tooie last year.
Yeah.
And actually beat it on the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, the other thing... The thing that I do, like I said, that I can... Without playing it, I can still respect about Yooka-Laylee is that they at least seem to have gotten, you know, the tone right and, like, the art and stuff right. Like, it looks... kind of joyful and goofy in the same way that that game did.
I helped someone in a porta potty by unclogging toilets and putting pipes back together. And then
nice.
He literally told me he had a second wind and was going to be in there for a while.
Oh. Banjo nice.
Really meant second wind.
Poop humor.
Sure. That part, you know, I could take or leave at some point, but I mean, they're British, that's so what, that's what
that's the
British
that's
people
what
love.
The tone
poop.
Of those games have been, except maybe, I don't. I feel like there maybe wasn't any poop humor in Donkey Kong 64, but that's not their thing. That
Nintendo
is them.
Put the foot
down.
They're
licensing it. It's fine.
Ironically, in a game filled with apes.
Yeah,
so,
no kidding.
You know, I guess
we have
we
to
can't
stray away from that.
That
that's the obvious
that's
way to go.
Stereotype.
So it's like, you can't do it.
We got to spin this.
They're going to expect us to throw
apes
the poop.
Don't throw poop.
Because when
they throw oranges that explode.
And bananas.
It's coconut gun. Can fire in spurts. There
oh
is a ukulele.
Gosh.
They made a ukulele rap, which I have not heard yet.
Oh my!
It's not on the soundtrack.
I feel like I
it's not in the game. I think they did
that
something.
Entire rap.
I probably
unfortunately. Unfortunately,
Donkey Kong 64 is on the Wii U if you want it. Which is where I played it recently.
Because mm-hmm. the other thing about ukulele is that, like I said, when we've kind of had our, you know, the time eternal. Mario 64 versus Banjo-Kazooie arguments.
Banjo-Kazooie.
The place where I think makes a lot of sense, like I said, I think it makes sense for certain people to like one or the other, and I think it makes sense for people to agree to disagree when it comes down to... I will totally concede that Banjo-Kazooie is a little better at, like, world-building, and just, like, it's a more realized, kind of goofy, like, fun, like, at some level, Mario 64 feels a little more thrown together, and, like, the... There's not much as much character in that game as there is in Banjo-Kazooie. But the thing I like about Mario 64 is that I just feel it's more mechanically mature. So I feel like it sounds like maybe a little bit reductive, but I feel like it's at some point it's like if you lean super hard towards gameplay, Mario 64 is going to be more of the game for you. And if you lean more to just like, you know, a general kind of like...
Fun and good time.
Fun. Something like that.
Fun,
like
happiness.
Just like a more lighthearted.
Dustin doesn't
but...
like fun. I found this out multiple times. He doesn't like fun. You know.
I vote Crash Bandicoot.
To each his own.
That's a different thing, though. Because those are like straight ahead levels. These are 3D worlds.
I vote Spyro the Dragon.
That's more like that is more in line with these games. Though I have had a very hit or miss experience with Spyro.
I vote Gex.
That started as a 2D platformer. We played Gex at the dentist.
I don't know if
remember that.
There is still, like a joyfulness to those games, which is cool.
Yeah.
But I would maybe call it like the I don't know to be a douche about it. Like the mise en scène. It's like the you know the overall package, like
the
wrapper. Exactly. It's just like the almost like it's almost like Bioshock Infinite, and then like you know.
Bioshock.
I don't want to know the mouthfeel of Bioshock. That game.
No, seriously, and that like
moist.
It puts together a cartoon world that makes sense like relative to itself.
Sure,
does
okay.
that make sense? Whereas like Mario, you know, it's just like here's the one with the pyramid, like whatever. Mm-hmm. Here's the one with the water in it. Here's the one with the big hill.
But in the case of Mario 64, there's like four water worlds in that one.
If that game has a cardinal sin, it's probably
yes.
that. So,
although
it'd be right in my heart, Lorraine.
Although the water worlds have the best music.
They did.
That's true.
I can't like that one.
Mm-hmm.
They all had the same music, but it was the
so
best
one. So they had something
one.
Going for them. Exactly.
They knew what they were about. Mm-hmm. They're like, you're going to hate this level,
sure.
but it's going to sound really nice. Yeah.
But the point is, at some point, like,
you.
When you go in to finish a game, like, it kind of makes sense that they are different in that way, because you only have so many resources, and you can only spend so much time doing stuff. So, like, Mario 64, you can clearly see that the level design functionally was the first, like, that was the thing that mattered most.
And I mean, if you think about it, that's what Nintendo has always done with Mario.
Right.
And they have always constructed the levels as opposed to the world.
Yeah. And at that point in Nintendo's history, even more so, it was like, here's Miyamoto, you know, writing basically like a base design document for what games on this platform like are going to kind of be like.
And then the skies parted and Star Fox 64 came down, and it is also a perfect game.
I never thought about this before, but now I kind of want to compare Mario to Legos. Because I could see, like, oh, we've got a fire station, and there's a Star Destroyer.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Like, just combining different Lego universe sets. Like, sure.
Exactly.
See the Lego movie.
That's right.
Or Lego Batman movie. That movie's
really or both.
Or both. Or both.
You should see both, really.
You should. You should. You really should.
They're both good.
Lego Batman movie's really good. I can't wait to see that movie.
I was just watching the Lego movie again yesterday.
I've been thinking about it. That's funny. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like I said, I think that I might play it someday, but I just, like, I think for me personally, like, I can't even get up the gumption to go play Mario 64 again, so if I can't do that, I feel like I'm not gonna be in for, like, a banjo, what if like, you play myself. It
on You've your never DS. Been, like, super big onto, like, the 3D platformer anyway.
I feel like it's, like, a genre that, like, I just, which like, is the fine. Passage of time is right where I've been with it. Like, every time I've played, you know, Mario 3D World, like, every time I've played the latest one of those... Mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed it.
Sure.
But, like, I don't find myself often, you know, going back through the catalog. The same way I would with, like, I'll pick up a Mario World or a Mario 3 or, like, an old Mega Man game,
Mario
like, whenever
World
and play it.
Mario World is a perfect game as well.
But for whatever reason, those 3D games, and I think it's because, like,
the... absolutes.
I think it's because the leaps and bounds were so big design-wise.
She's a Sith.
Do it.
Like, the design threshold for making good 2D platformers leveled off, I think, much more quickly than good 3D platformers. Like, I think there was a lot more room to...
If their dimension's hard, man.
I mean, you're not kidding. Like, I think those games took way longer to become 3D. Truly mature.
Like a fine the mouse.
Design-wise. So they're... Like, even the best examples of them from the past are harder to go back to than, like, their 2D counterparts.
Except,
like,
Banjo-Kazooie.
You know, Ryan, we don't need to have that discussion,
again.
So I'm not going to argue
play it
with you
again.
But,
gotta get 100% into 4D gaming.
And the point is, you enjoy ukulele.
I do. The moral of the story.
Do you have any other thoughts? Like, I mean, I'm assuming your general recommendation is, if you know, if you're out there and you like Banjo, you know, go get this.
Basically, I don't really have anything. Like, I mean, there's not really that much to honestly be said about this game that hasn't already been said here. Like, it's just.
Is there one thing that sticks out? Like. In particular that you like about it, or is it just kind of the fact that the whole
package works?
The casino
level's really cool.
Okay.
Mm.
It's really neat. It's got a nice, like, jazzy feel to it. That was the place from the clip that I showed at the end of last week's Valkyria Chronicles, where I, like, stuck myself into the wall and then got out of bounds, only to not be able to get back in. I can show you after
good
this
times,
joint. It's great.
Times.
And I did find something else. So you remember that section I was in earlier, that indoor, like, maze?
Mm-hmm.
So I found that they store it underneath the level.
That's funny.
And was able to jump down into it, and I have a clip of that.
That's some straight up, I mean, you know, it makes sense to do that probably in plenty of 3D games, but that is some straight up N64 level, like, oh, Ocarina of Time
just,
is
like,
stacked such that, like, you can just end the game by falling through the map
it.
Or whatever.
Like, I don't think they meant for you to, like,
to be able to visually.
I went back to the first world,
mm-hmm.
and it's just, like, it's just there. I don't know if it's because I was just in it. Or if it always lives under the level. But I found it and was like, oh, what's this? And got into it and I'm like, wait a minute. I was here. The music didn't change. The ceiling, I couldn't see it because I was above it. So I was jumping and hitting something and then the camera snapped to me. And then I walked through the door and I was back out where, like, the exit was. And I was like, what happened? Because I could see all of it. It was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny. Time.
You ran into, like, a handful, but not a crazy amount of, like, weird technical stuff, right?
It was really just that. There was that one time where the underwater music kept playing.
Oh, and there was that one thing where you couldn't use a move or whatever.
Oh, yeah. It said I was using the move. I don't even know what happened with that. That was strange.
Yeah.
That's probably it. But that could also be Unity, because Unity does strange things sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that
is,
like,
working with Unity, let me tell you, it is a mess sometimes.
I'm not saying that is like, no, it's clearly, like, for the amount of time you put into it, it's clearly
none
not,
it's
like, bug-riddled,
yeah.
But you've, you know, you've hit, like, there's one or two, like, 3D games are hard.
I have been able to reverse
all games are hard.
Everything
3D
that
games
happened.
Are even harder.
Like, there was no irrevocable game state. I was able to just, like,
mm-hmm.
duck out of like a menu or the level and come back in, and everything was fine.
Yeah.
The one thing that I'll say still generally surprises me about like the shift product of that game performance wise is that the loads are still are weird.
Really long.
Like there's no like music that plays during them, and they technically have animations, but they hitch up like the game on its loading screen like chugs. It goes like will be on the screen for like 4 or 5 seconds.
When you first start the game, like going from the title screen into your file is the longest load in the game.
Yeah, and it's like long enough that you feel like the loading animation will freeze, and you're like, did the game lock up? Then it totally loads. Like, if you wait 30 or 40 seconds or whatever total, it'll put you into the map.
And there honestly aren't that many hard loads in the game, because like once you're in the like in the worlds, it's just like a fade to black, come out, you're in the next room or whatever. It's really just into the worlds, into the game, and in between certain areas of the overworld where I think they just, it's just too much. Like, they have to block it off. Which I really only found is, like, 2 parts, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe 3. It depends on, like, the shortcuts, because they kind of get around that, too.
Kind of makes me think of old PC games loading.
Sure, something like
watching
that.
The EverQuest screen. The bar just stops.
Mm-hmm.
You wait for, like, 5 minutes, and then
eventually it's over here. It's not that long, but it's...
not 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's enough time to make you think that something has gone awry.
Yes. it's weird in a way that, like I said, at the end of the day, it doesn't really impact the gameplay experience, but it's weird in a way that I would love to... Like, if I got to write in a letter to the Ukulele team and ask them a thing about it, I personally would ask why the load screens are so weird. Because I bet the answer is either there's some extremely specific, extremely strange technical reason for why it is weird this way, or it was just low on the priority list of things to, like, smooth out. Just like, look, we needed to, like, not crash. Like, the load screen's a little fucked up. We only have so many hours in a day.
I mean, if you think about it, the only reason that Donkey Kong 64 worked was because of the expansion pack, and they don't know why. Otherwise, it would just crash, which is why they shipped the game at a loss with the expansion pack in it to make sure it worked.
I never knew
that. So if that was their thing, I wouldn't be surprised if that was their one, like, guys,
hotfixed it back in the day.
Yeah.
Sure, well, something like that.
Well, the expansion pack had extra RAM.
Yeah, so like I said, it must have either been
But they don't know what fixed it. Yeah. It was just like, this works now.
There must have been some really weird memory allocation thing one way or another. Like, maybe a really small memory leak or something.
Maybe the problem was that they were developing the expansion at the same time, and they were using both. And they took it apart, and they're like, oh, it works. Let's ship it without the expansion.
They never shipped it without it from the get-go. Gotcha. So while they were in development, it was just like something kept going awry. So they're like, and then that happened, and it was like, okay. So
they should have capitalized on it instead of saying it was the expansion. Just treat it like one of those like Sega Genesis things they had back in the day, like, this is the special 3D FX or whatever.
It did do stuff for other games too.
Yeah, there are better graphics. A handful of games you can only play with the expansion pack. I think Perfect Dark you could only play with.
Majora's Mask, I think, Majora's Mask some of it maybe. Too.
Hmm.
So I mean, like, but they were just like, our game literally doesn't work without this. Here you go.
Have this.
Yes, have some.
It's not safe to go time. Alone.
Don't you want some gold?
I've got gold. I'm not giving it to anybody else. Give some tips.
Welcome to Richmond.
So any other thoughts about that or anything else? Have you been playing anything else that you'd like to share with the class, Lauren?
I mean, Valkyria Chronicles has been trying my patience as of recently.
What? Only recently? That.
Like I said,
I don't do well with strategy games.
Like, I mean, I know that now.
Yeah, watching Lauren play this game has been a window into, like, what genres, like, she is, like, okay in. Because, like I said, it surprises me how much you're actually willing to play Fire Emblem games, considering how clearly frustrated you are by them.
They are definitely, I mean, they're slightly more luck-based.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Fire Emblem's even worse, in that, like, oh, well, a crit, you lose.
But it's not me aiming.
Well, yes.
They're slightly different in a way. Hold on. Just that tank level. Don't even get me started on those tanks. They are garbage.
But it's really opened my eyes to, like, it makes me glad that you're putting your, that you're going to finish it up. But, like, it also makes me understand, like, that you're actually... Like, you're not, for as
Why
many...
Why do you think it took me so long to play Fire Emblem Fates?
Well, sure, but yeah, for as many of those games as you've, like, for as many Fire Emblem games as I know you've played, Like, you're less into, like, you have really less tolerance for strategy game bullshit than I would have guessed.
Really only four.
But that's, like, a lot. That's, like, a lot for games that, like, clearly, four, like get under eight. Your skin a little bit.
I've only finished start to three go awry. Of those.
And there's plenty of anime.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's true.
I'm not sure if that's necessarily what I need in Fire Emblem. It's getting a little too anime, but...
More or less petting.
Less. Okay. I don't need that in my life.
Did you ever click on the people in the app?
Nothing.
The app game?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Does it do a thing?
They talk, don't they?
Yeah, they talk and little hearts shoot out just like they do in the game. It's like, whoa.
I have really fallen off of Fire Emblem Heroes.
Yeah, I haven't played that in
when they stopped giving daily bonuses of orbs.
I got 10 the other day.
Yeah.
The other day.
I got 20.
They do it. It's randomly. It's not every day, but it's...
But I liked every day.
Well, just wait for the one every day.
There's only one day that they sometimes don't give.
I don't know. Those. I got like 3 days of garbage, and I'm like, I don't need these dual swords. I don't do the thing anymore.
I would say, well, the dual swords thing, if you're willing to do 6 arena matches, that every day there's a quest for orbs that resets by doing 6 arena matches.
Yeah, and you can even do it where
I've really stopped caring.
You KO 10.
Yeah.
6 or 10, I don't know, 10 plus level, and you get an orb every day.
But then I have to play the game.
This is true.
It's still nice. I play on my lunch break.
Sure. Yeah, like I said, I actually thought, like, when I first played that game, I was really down on the gameplay part of it, and then after it got finally ramped up a little bit in difficulty, I was actually pretty into it.
Yeah.
But, like, I kind of swore that game off just because the part of it where it was a mobile game... And specifically, the drops it was serving me just made me like, I'm good.
I've
rolled like 15 fucking, you know, 5 sets and never gotten a 5-star dude. So like,
really?
I got bad pulls from that game.
You had my luck, man.
Like, I got shitty. Like, the point I hit was just like, well, the only guys I can ever use are like these 4 or 5 that I've been using the whole time because I never get anybody else good. Like, I got 1 5-star finally, like, over my entire run of playing that game.
Well, you know, you can build the 5-stars too. You just got to get those feathers.
Yeah. And the jewels.
But, like, a lot.
Well, the jewels are easy, though.
Are they, though?
Yeah. You just got to do some towers. And every day you can get a certain color from the towers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the other thing.
See,
is like,
now you're just, you keep telling me I have to play the game, and I don't want
to
play the game.
I'm not telling you you have to play the game. No, I'm just saying I like it.
To get the stuff, you have to play the game.
I mean, I devote, like, 15 minutes a day to it.
Mm-hmm. I used to. I just don't. Sure. I used to play it much more. And
you were all playing it almost every day.
Yeah, I was. Mm-hmm. And then I just, like, I don't know.
Right.
I got to a point where I wasn't strong enough to move forward, and then I kept trying. Then I started, like, leveling up other people, and then I'm like, well, absolutely nobody is strong enough because I haven't been using my stronger guys. And then I did get some good, like, I think I have only 1 5-star, maybe 2, and a bunch of 4s. Mm-hmm. And
4s are pretty good.
They're good, but then, like, they don't explain any of the feather stuff, I feel. I was very confused. I was also not sure at the very beginning whether or not your people would die forever if they went through. So I'm like looking that up. I'm like, there's too many things that are unclear, and I'm like, I don't like.
And the other part about Fire Emblem Heroes is that, like, the part where I also just like you're talking basically like kind of like the actual high level, like, you know, resource management of that game, like, I can feel my old man-ness kicking into it, and the fact that, like, I still like Pokemon Go a lot, and part of it is because I just like that it gives you an excuse to, like, go exercise or whatever. Like, that's a good thing by itself.
Parks are cool, man.
The other thing I like about Pokemon Go is that it has basically like 3 resources. Like, you've got candy, you've got dust, and you've got coins, and, like, that's it.
And
fire
steps.
And like, sure. And Fire Emblem, it's
you
like
generate those.
There are 17 different colors of gems, and then there's feathers, and then there's swords, and then there's, you know, like, all the individual
white medallions, that makes, like, stamina potions.
And like, it is getting more complicated.
Like,
so
that's the kind of game that I want to be, like, if it's on my phone and I'm, like, flicking my thumb, I want it to be at least, like, a little bit. I don't want to have to do research.
It's tying me over until May.
But you when are I get doing the new Fire Emblem.
Because I like that game more.
It still boggles my mind how much effort you're willing to put into Pokemon Light, and you, like, are baffled by the amount of, like, research and knowledge I have about, like, actual Pokemon games.
Because there's so many more Pokemon. Like I said, I've started from the beginning. When you can gradually expand that, like, when it starts with just the original guys, and then slowly the pool gets larger.
Yeah.
Like, I basically case what I'm saying point, is Pokemon had passed McGraths. Me. Right, exactly. Like, I had never
those
played... Man,
those guys have been EV training since fucking Gen 1. Pokemon, they're a nightmare.
I had never played Pokemon more than casually, basically, from the first game. So, like, at some point, probably around Gen 3, just, like, the ability for me
but it's gotten
to get into it so at a deep level has just, like, passed
me. I'm the same way, too. I'm like, 3, maybe 4... Like, mm-hmm. I'm hard-pressed to like a lot of Pokemon that are in, like, Gen 4, and then I'm just kind of like...
That's because Gen 4 as a whole is really bad.
And then, like,
bad.
5 and 6, I'm just like,
5
no.
is good! Oh, 5 was God, so much... No. I like 5 a lot. Just, 6 was pretty good.
I just don't have the time. 7. There's too many of them. I don't know their names. I don't know what type they are.
Yeah, I was chilling. I'm right there
and
with
And I'm just,
you,
like, sitting 100%. There playing, and I'm like, just with the most recent one that I just kind of gave up on playing. I think I'm gonna sneeze.
Bless you.
I'm like playing it, and I'm like, this isn't even fun because I don't know any of these Pokemon, and I don't really care to look up their types either. Like, every single one I encounter, and I'm like, bloop bloop. Okay, what type are you? What can I use against you?
They
like,
are better
what
about
do you
this
evolve
now?
Into? Do you evolve into nothing? I don't know.
They have gotten better about like the in battle interface in like Gen 7.
They
mm-hmm.
tells you like how good the moves are and stuff.
And I do like that part because I'm like, oh hey, you tell me what actually works against this thing. That's helpful. But then it's like, oh, I just don't know.
I like that I don't have to remember that.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. Exactly. But yeah, Jillian, like that's right where I am at with Pokemon in terms of like
I wish I wanted to finish all of them.
Like it when I'm in there.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just too much. At some point, the amount of Pokemon knowledge that exists in the world eclipsed my desire to obtain all of that knowledge. Like, I got other stuff going on.
I mean, I haven't picked up Sun for a while. I have not played that game. Like, I completed the regional decks. Like, Jesse and I were doing that together. And
I've got, like, none.
Like, I just...
It's just sad.
I put maybe, like, 100 hours into it, and I'm like,
whoa.
There's no end game anymore.
Hours.
That's just, I mean, that's nothing.
Well, no, I think about 100 hours, and I'm like...
It's not anything. Let me tell you.
We're saying 100 hours.
I need to re-up my chart, first of all. I need to do that. I had a spreadsheet of my Pokemon data. Yeah.
The other thing, again, is when you're, like, grinding
thousands of hours.
When you're grinding out and really trying to make, like, actually good competitive dudes, you know, a good, probably, what, 30% of that at least is just, like... holding the bike while you go hash tubes or whatever, like while you're mostly doing something else.
See, I could not do that.
It's not that hard.
When they first
while you're doing something else.
Brought
it's
it up
so
in like
easy.
The what Gen 2 or Gen 3, I did a little bit of that, and then after that,
but
I was just like, I can't.
It is literally so easy to
I'm gonna
like
get a guy that's half decent,
and
he's my guy.
It's
he's,
so easy.
He's my
the only reason
he's
I got through some of the gym battles in the last one was because my Pokemon liked me and they didn't die when they got like crit killed. I'm like, oh, okay,
Pokemon
I have enough
me
for
made
one
some,
more move.
Some broken
Yay!
Stuff.
They should put like a Pokemon Go mode into Pokemon proper. Like you turn on your Switch and you like click the egg button to hatch an egg and then you just walk.
That would be
and
nice.
Then eventually it's like, all right.
They need that
I
integration.
I would love that. Hatching eggs is real boring, but it's so easy.
They also need one that
actually
counts steps.
They did take away some of the easiness.
So I
from
can
they
use it on my
stripped
treadmill.
Away features from Gen 6, which is a bummer because it was really easy to use a bunch of shit in Gen 6 that you can't do in Gen 7.
Aww.
But, I don't know. Pokemon.
Valkyria Chronicles. Technically, we kicked back up like the...
Go back
the
out.
Four, two
the,
or three inception
out of the
levels.
Wait.
First in, last out.
What about Pokemon strategy games?
I played Conquest.
Sorry, I don't know Pokemon Conquest.
I mean... Well, I was thinking more like Mystery Dungeon or something.
That's oh, I love Mystery Dungeon games. Yeah. They're different. Mm. They're more action-y.
Yeah, I guess.
I love those games. I have so much fun with them. The
so
last
maybe.
One for the 3DS was really good. Super Mystery Dungeon, that's what it was called. I was going to say Gates to Infinity, that was the first one for the 3DS.
Yeah, I don't know any of that.
They're good. I like them a lot.
Blue
I really
Rescue.
Liked... that one...
I
right
think.
On.
If you
right?
Had,
that sounds right.
That
yeah.
was the
I think
first
so.
One.
Yeah,
that
that's
was
what
that
I got.
And red were the first ones. Yeah. One was for the Game Boy Advance.
Blue is the better one.
That's
I
the one
blue.
I had. It was also the DS
it
one.
It had Squirtles on it. Come on.
It had Totodile on it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the one for the more modern system was better.
Well,
who
no.
Who wants to go back and play
well,
the GBA game?
Sure.
But nobody.
They were literally the same game.
Heathen.
That's like, funny. I didn't actually know that because I never played either of those.
There was a few, like, obviously there were some touchscreen stuff or like, it wasn't actually touchscreen stuff. It was more second screen stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like just stuff where you just have two things as opposed to just one screen.
Mm-hmm.
But the second DS ones, Explorers of Darkness and
something else.
Shit. It was darkness and time. Those were honestly probably the best ones. If you want to go for the Emerald version, just get Sky, because it's literally what that one was.
Nope.
Those ones were really good. I liked those ones a lot. They had more in them than like the first ones. And after that, it was the 3DS one, and then the other 3DS one. The second 3DS one was really good. First one was all right.
Yeah, there's quite a few.
There was a WiiWare one that only came out in Japan.
Was that one good for them?
Yeah. Pokemon Conquest, though, is actually a strategy
game. War Turtle.
That's what I think of when I think of Mystery Dungeon.
Pokemon Cross Nobunaga's Ambition, which is a Japanese strategy game. Nobunaga is in Pokemon Conquest.
Wow. I've never even heard of Pokemon Conquest.
It's a DS game.
Yeah.
It might be on the Wii U Virtual Console.
Have to look it up.
If only it mattered.
Well, damn. You don't have a Switch. You have a Wii U.
I know I do.
So if you want to play,
I've also
strategy.
Got a PS4. I don't.
That's unfortunate. That game's
I was just wondering because your other strategy game. You know, I thought maybe if the context was different, you'd feel differently, and kind of.
I beat Pokemon Conquest.
Yeah.
Sure, but anyway, Pokemon's good. Yeah. But yeah, going all the way up the chain back to like kind of Valkyria Chronicles, but even more so what we were getting Johto into in terms Warriors. Of like I said, just like game temperaments. It's been interesting, and we over the course of the like we even had the perfect like kind of like midpoint to that where we played Bloodborne that 1 week or whatever. Like that is that your reaction to Valkyria Chronicles combined with that bout of Bloodborne. Told me exactly what I needed to know about your gaming tendencies, and that like you have a much lower level of tolerance for bullshit than I do. Basically,
it depends on the bullshit.
Well, because like the bullshit,
that translates into personality.
No, it does. It absolutely does. Like, I'm not saying that's
I'm not saying
that's a failing even.
not
Lorraine's
at all,
but it's just like part of the fun of some games for me. Like you said, if it's like. The game locked up. That's bullshit that no one likes.
Yeah.
But if it's like that boss killed me like 8 times in a row. That's bullshit. I kind of like that about games sometimes.
My fight against Sid Reigns in Final Fantasy 13. Did you see that? Were you there when they crucified the Lord?
I was going to come in with that too.
Sometimes
Space Pope.
It causes me to tremble. Tremble. It was just Easter. Leave us alone.
You guys are really doing it. Oh, man.
The thing I'm getting at
is that we actually do have,
sweet
like,
refreshment.
for as many games as we both like, for as similar as our tastes are, some of the things that I even think that we like about some of the games that we like together, like, are a little more different than I would have expected, and that, like, I kind of don't mind. Like, I'm kind of seeking that out sometimes.
I was going to say,
It's just interesting when you see the two people like the same genres or even the exact same games, but then you find that specifically the things that they like about the most are maybe a little different than you would guess. That's kind of what I'm getting at.
Individuality.
Because no part of, and like I said, Valkyria Chronicles is kind of a way more approachable one of those even, because it's got like, you can save mid-map and just keep playing. It's not like Fire Emblem where they just like, you know, hard lock you into the one, like you have to beat the map in one sitting or whatever. But, like those kind of games, like I don't even mind starting over usually in the strategy. I don't mind starting over in strategy games where it's like the thing that happened is my tactics were bad. Like if it's the Fire Emblem pace where the thing that happened is like, oh, I got crit one turn from winning. Like that's controller chuckingly, you know, hideous.
Be but, like me.
Like that's part of the thing that I like about some of those games, and it's just funny to see.
I beat Fates at all. I was ready to honestly just literally throw that game in the trash.
That surprises me, because I really like it.
But you had Birthright, right?
I played the middle one.
Oh, don't play Conquest.
Not Conquest. The
No, I'm just saying.
The DLC thing.
The third one. The middle one.
Awakening or whatever.
Revelations. That's it. Fire Emblem Revolution.
Yeah.
No, that was Tokyo Mirage Sessions. My bad.
Whatever.
Tokyo Mirage Dance Dance.
I miss that game sometimes. Like, we had fun.
That's what I said. Like, I was like, am I crazy for wanting to play it? Like, on my own?
We had fun. That was fun. It makes me want to play Persona even more now because Persona is so much better than that.
Why'd you say Kyogre?
Huh? No.
Coyote.
All right, slow down, everybody.
Anyway. I said
it would it will tie you over until Persona 5.
I thought you
said
Kyogre, and I'm like, first of all, you do not say Kyogre's name like that in this house.
Kyogre.
Anyway, sorry.
The thing that I was going to pitch, and I wanted to see if you think in your heart that this is accurate or if you think I'm blowing smoke a little bit. The thing that I was going to say is, like, because that led me to think, like, well, what does Lorraine get out of these games? Like, why does she like them enough to, like, you know, play multiple ones if they're so frustrating? Mm. And the postulation that I would make is, like I said, the thing that I'm curious
about your psychic analysis. Your psychic analysis.
Both of us. Like I said, the thing that I think I like personally about the most about those in general, if I had to pick, like, one thing, it's, like, I like the part where it's, like, weird, like, four-dimensional chess. Like, it's a strategy game, and you have to, you know, put the pieces down just right and make sure you move everything just such. You know, if I have to restart four or five times because I keep making bad decisions, like, you know, I'm personally okay with that.
That's when you haul up and hide in a wall and make the kill alley and just kill everything.
My guess would be that you're maybe approaching them more, especially in terms of Fire Emblem, and from, like, the part where it's more like, where it's... That game's also an RPG, right? Where you're, like, building a party and getting experience and leveling up. And, like, is that part of the thing that you think, like, you like about those games?
I mean, you see how much I like Pokemon.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I'm collecting units, man.
I'm floating a theory.
Yes.
This is my collection of units.
I enjoy a bout of strategy. Like, I don't mind doing that from time to time. There's no way I'd ever play an RTS. No way.
I
don't need real-time strategy in my strategy games. Give me the. StarCraft. I want to take my turn. I want it to be. I want to stop. I want to look at it.
Yeah, Lorraine.
I am not dodging anything. I do not need more pylons. My base does not belong to you.
I'm 100% like I share that opinion wholeheartedly, and like kind of for the like. I've never been able to play RTSs just because I feel panicked.
Yes.
Like, as soon as the map starts, I feel like I'm, like, freaking out because like I'm already behind.
Ticking.
That makes me feel shitty. Like, that's the version of shitty where, like...
I'm already 20 turns behind, basically, guys.
Yeah, basically that game...
I'm running away. I'm like, can I get out of here on my horse fast enough?
Real-time strategy games... Real-time strategy games legit give me performance anxiety. Like, they make me feel like I'm not capable. Like, my APM is not high enough. I just feel like crap.
I will say that these days...
All the PMs.
I do prefer like a Project Civ type strategy game where I can go at my own pace.
But I
used to be big into StarCraft for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But
Justin played it, Adam played it a lot.
Hammer time.
Let's mention it.
It's just really interesting. Like I said, that kind of stuff. It's thought provoking to me to like see how people like what people take away from the same game. No, that's not at all what I mean. Don't put words in my mouth.
Marie, how do you feel that Dustin constantly psychoanalyzes you and your choice of video games?
That is...
It's draining.
That is the persona of Dustin.
Persona Lorraine.
But what arcana is he?
We don't know.
Fool! The Joker!
Okay, I'll shut up.
No. He is the diviner. Who brings things from the heavens.
Anyway,
exactly. There's a shiny white light in the blue room,
the velvet room, blue velvet room.
Man, I wish you would have played more Persona 4.
I still can. I just don't. Yeah, that. Well, that like I haven't played Zelda since I came over. That's how long
I'm
it's been.
So sad.
I know, but
I'm
like,
sad for you.
Again, I'm pretty close. I've only played maybe 2 hours of Zelda in the last like 2 weeks.
But like that guy, and you guys were so discouraged with that guy. Happened?
I still want to play more.
The first boss, I can't beat him. So I'm like, I gotta go do other things. So then I just started roaming around, and then I'm like lost, and I was trying to get to the other place, and I couldn't get there. So. Now it's just, like, this, like, daunting thing high on a ledge.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Wade and Phil have also kind of
fallen off a little bit. Because I think the only ones of us who have finished it are me, Kyle, and Doug.
I just can't.
That's why I downloaded those games today. I played mindless shooter games because I'm like, I need to do something glorious else.
Glorious Explosion Machine.
Yeah, Glorious whatever it was.
And since,
I needed to do something else.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it turned out to be much harder than I thought it would be.
Since we've got a natural transition, I'm going to keep rolling with it.
Bashish.
Horizon?
But yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from in terms of like... Lorraine, some of the games you've chastised me for not finishing are...
Ooh.
I fall into that same situation, just like schedule-wise.
I know,
but
I want you to see it.
Well, I know, but it's like, the more, like, and those big games, the bigger they are, the harder it is to, like, come back to it. Like, I fell off of, like, Valkyria Chronicles, Tales of Vesperia, after, 35 hours, just because, like, I got so deep into that game, and I had to put it down for, like, 2 or 3 weeks, and then you get far enough away from it, it's just, like...
Mm-hmm.
Carol. That was
that's
his name.
Why I stopped playing.
That shitty little kid.
That's like once you get far enough away from, like,
I think his name is Carol.
Once you get far enough away from those giant kind of sweeping adventure games, and then you have to get back into it, you have all these questions like, what was I doing? Where am I going? Mm-hmm. What's the next thing I have to accomplish? Like,
well, then like just like the battle sequences in Zelda, in Breath of the Wild particularly, I think are much more complex. At least in this game, or at least it feels like it to me. So,
well, it's because there's so many more moving parts in this game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like I'm not very good at that game, number one. But, like, even, like, any of the encounters where, like, in past all the games, like, I would have been fine. Like, you come up to a bunch of Bokoblins, fine, whatever, kill them all. I died, like, 600 times already. So now I'm just, like, even more intimidated from that fact. And it's like, then bringing up against a boss, it's like, yeah, no. There's, like, there's slim to none chance that I will beat this successfully. So it's like, go find something else. Gotta go find some more hearts or some stamina. I don't know. Something stronger to try to kill this guy. I don't know. It makes me sad.
I believe
I want to play so much Zelda.
You can do it.
It's just it's
rough out there.
It is, and I like the same thing. Like I have not had a day in like 2 or 3 weeks where I've been able to like sit down for
undetermined. Sorry, we took that from you today.
Well, that too. But like
you could have been playing it while we watched Moana. I didn't stop.
I wanted to watch Moana. That's all I've been talking about all weekend. But like I've not had a period of time where I've had enough time to sit down because it's like I can't just play it for an hour, like or like 2 hours. Like I would want to play like for at least like 2 to 3, and that's kind of how I got through that. I got through the whole elephant dungeon because like I had like an entire morning into the afternoon that I didn't have anything to do, and I had enough time to like keep falling off of the tusk and keep flying back in and then keep going over somewhere else where I wasn't supposed to be, and like I was able
how
to do this
manage
and
it?
I don't know. I really don't know. A lot of things I did not understand how I did in that dungeon because I kept slipping off the top of it, and I'm like, I stood in the exact same spot, and then I just, bad. It was bad. So,
was there a second lightning orb in that dungeon?
I don't remember.
Because you both finished it.
Hmm.
Like, for the last terminal, there's like those, you have to power up two little spots.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a second orb? Because I made a bridge of swords, because I wasn't about to go search for that thing. I ferried the lightning orb. I was done. I have a picture of it.
Bridge of Swords.
Well, no, because, like, things...
It's like a 90s movie.
Metal conducts electricity, and I had one orb that, like, just generated electricity.
Yeah.
And there were two spots, and I didn't feel like going and finding the other one, so I lined up, I dropped swords on the floor, they conducted the electricity over to the other one, and the door opened.
Maybe that's what you were supposed to do.
I don't know, though.
That's the beauty of that game. You
it's
never
so
know.
Great.
Maybe there's well, more than one way.
It's just everything is so
there
ambiguous.
There always is more than one way.
And it's just crazy. Like, I don't know.
I just want to know if there actually was something that I just didn't...
I bet there was.
Probably.
I don't remember either.
No,
sure.
I was just curious if anyone remembered.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Zelda.
And other stuff. Because, Jillian, you have been playing one or two other things, like, even this afternoon. For, like, a little bit.
Yeah. I found Setsuna. It's not me.
No,
I am not Setsuna. I was supposed to kill her. Didn't kill her. Yet.
You've got time.
But, no, I'm excited to play that game.
I really want you to play Chrono Trigger at some point.
Yeah.
Because Chrono Trigger's really
good. What can I play that on?
It came out on the DS.
Oh.
It came out on the DS. Okay. There's probably
there
a downloadable...
There are two copies of it in this house that we could lend
Wii U thing.
Goodness.
Yeah, okay. And in fact, there's the PlayStation version, which we also have if you still have a working PS2 or whatever.
Yeah, but the loads are a little wonky. Because I played the PS...
The DS version would probably be the one for you to play.
And the loads weren't even that good. The DS one was really good.
Okay.
It's got a bunch of, like, second screen stuff.
I don't remember if it ever came out on, like, the straight-up Wii or Wii U virtual console. That was, like, the original SNES version. I don't think so, either. But.
Yeah, I don't think that... Because I think they just went with the Sony stuff. Because a lot, like, everything of theirs is on... Like, you could play... I think on the... Well, maybe not the PS4. The PS3, you could play, like, 1 through 10, basically. And then 12's going to be out, Lord knows when.
Yeah, the Lorraine had played the DS version. It's a really good version of that game.
It's really good. It's a really good game.
Yeah. I mean, I like... Well, that's initially... Well, that was one... I Am Setsuna was one of the first ones that I bought along with Breath of the Wild just when it came out, just because I'm like, this looks fun. Mm-hmm. I like pretty games. So, because I had to take a break from Zelda, I was like, let's try this one because I have it.
Yay!
But I think I'll play more of that one. I don't know. I like it because it's kind of different and kind of different from what I have. And I wanted more games on the Switch.
Yeah, period. It diversifies your portfolio of things you can boot up on that device.
Exactly. So when I'm, angry at Zelda, I can go and shoot little fish guys or whatever, and they can give me heart attacks, and then I can, get to the next planet.
Again, Glorious Explosion is the name of that game.
Is that the actual name? For the life of me, can't seem to.
Do you remember how much that was? Because that game looked like kind of fun.
$12.99.
Yeah, I think it was $12.
It wasn't much.
Okay.
It's a very.
Why I was like, it's also out on. Fun. I was like, I went and looked it up because it just came out on the 6th, I believe, of this month.
Yeah. Okay.
It's also out on PC, PS4, Xbox.
What is it? I've seen it on my Switch. 17th.
Oh yeah,
it's fun. I mean, it's challenging, but it's fun. It's a kind. It's an old school single stick shooter. You only you don't control the rotation of your ship. It's just vertical and horizontal, and it's the screen wraps.
Right,
like,
it's kind of like
is one continuous thing.
It's kind of like R-Type, but you can go back and forth. Like it's a side, side moving space shooter.
Yeah,
And you're going through these phase. Like there's different waves that you have to survive, and it was interesting.
They have something like that on PS4 that I've got. It was a
PlayStation
Plus title. Yeah, PS Plus title. So.
Gotcha.
And the other thing about that game is it's really striking in that game looks very modern.
It's crisp.
Right. It looks like people who make really good looking iPhone apps made that game. And that's a compliment. And that it looks very simple and clean, but really attractive. Yeah. And the colors pop and the screen animations and stuff are just
everything shifts a little bit.
Yeah.
Blue and red and then it comes back. And I like that.
Yeah. That game looks neat. That looks like that's a cool way to take that kind of game as opposed to just making it pixel art or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's a neat idea.
Yeah.
It looks cool.
Yes. Those little blue guys.
Mm-hmm.
There was that big one.
The big green one.
Four hits. Oh my gosh. It was the worst.
Four hits.
No, stingrays. Wow. I like the
stingrays.
They're
so cute though. Yeah. They're assholes, but they're so cute.
They shoot things at you. Yeah.
And they inch.
Mm-hmm. They're little purple stingrays.
They're adorable. I hate them, but I love them.
I love to hate them.
Yes.
Very good. Anything else?
No, I mean, I've definitely been playing Birthright
more
than Zelda, because just for the simple fact is that it's not, super taxing in my brain.
It is a different kind
of
game,
I can just sit down and, play a map or play some of the other little challenges and then...
Half a map.
Yeah, and just kind of do that, do one, and then be like, okay, I'm done for the night, it's time to go to bed.
I think I agree with you attitude-wise on Zelda 2, Jillian, and that, I've seen some people say, I played this game for 15 minutes on the bus. I don't think I could play Zelda for more less than, 2 hours at a time.
Yeah.
I just don't think I want to play that game that way.
Yeah,
it's weird.
You can't accomplish anything. It's half the time you're running across the world anyway, so it's you're spending a good majority of your time traveling. So it's just
you can commute to work and the temple at the same time.
In real time.
In 15 minutes. I don't know. I like that game a lot, and I want to play it more, but I just need, I don't know, a month of vacation from work and life, and have nobody need anything from me for a long period of time.
Bad job.
Just need to get fired. And
that too.
Collect unemployment.
Or just burn the museum down.
Yeah. Just, turn off my phone and be nobody talk to me.
Whoops, my phone broke.
Right? Facebook doesn't exist anymore. Neither does Twitter. Nothing else.
Oh, God.
Go off the grid and play Zelda.
Exactly.
That's right.
It's that's why I go underground and then just play
cave.
Zelda. Yeah.
With one power cord and just play
and
Zelda.
And a really big TV.
Nice.
And then I'll be good.
I like it. Living the dream.
Yeah.
Take I mean,
me. I don't see that happening anytime
it's
soon.
Kind
but
of the dream.
Take me there.
I mean, I love the dream. Yeah, I really. I don't think it'll ever be. I don't think it'll ever be in this building, but someday, when we're in a different house, I would like to have a finished basement. I think.
Sure.
Every time I've been to someone's house where they have a finished basement, I'm like, this is good. I want to sit on a couch in a hole in the ground and just let the TV light keep me warm.
Well, my aunt's house, like, almost all of these have
Well, right, basements. Like, Justin's is one of those. Like, it's a good way to not spend a lot on air conditioning in the summer.
Well, that's
like,
that is nice.
That it's like, it's cold, frigid downstairs. So, if I don't feel like turning the air on, I'll be like, hey, cat, let's go downstairs. And that's what we'll
same
do.
Time.
And that's what we've we'll
got
do.
A, we've got a finished, well, mostly finished basement in my house. Mm. And we never use it. When I was a kid, like, little, and my brother was still living with us, and, like, that was where I went.
Right.
Because he wouldn't bother me there. Mm-hmm. And that was it. That was the only reason.
Mm-hmm. And we would hang out down there sometimes. When we would like spend the night or whatever and just like,
I mean, that's where the video games lived for us. We could not have them upstairs for the longest time.
And see, mine always had to live in my room because, well, I've talked about my brother before. But we confirmed it yesterday when he was talking about these PlayStation games. And I was like, huh, you know, I don't remember that one the way you did. Oh, maybe that was because you didn't get to play it.
Oh, go figure.
Yeah. That's why I don't remember that like that. Interesting. And you could see, like, the look on his face. He was like, yeah. I was a dick.
Yep. I sure hope that copy of Link to the Past I owned wasn't actually yours.
No.
Because I got it from your brother.
Yeah.
The copy of Link to the Past I owned
that was
his brother's name on it.
And I specifically brought that up yesterday talking to him.
And I forget exactly.
I was like, I don't know what you traded it for.
I gave him.
But he's got it.
It was an N64 controller. I remembered that and some other stuff. But I could not for life remember what else it was. It was probably at least one other game.
That's fine.
But that's what I traded to your brother for that copy of Link to the Past.
I mean, you remember how we got our original copy of Ocarina of Time, right?
Yep.
It got left at my grandpa's house with the initials CL on it, and that is no one in my family. I have no idea whose it was, if it was, like, a cousin's friend, and they, like, brought it over and left it.
Yeah, could
but,
be.
But, like, we took it to my grandpa, like, do you know whose this is? He's like, no. And I'm like, can we take it? He's like, sure.
Somebody rented it from a local video store and never returned
it. There is no sticker on it.
Yeah.
It was there. The logo was the sticker, like the label, whatever, slightly faded.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, like, pristine. It had been used.
Mm-hmm.
There was a completed file called Mr. Bear on it. I think we kept that one, too, didn't we?
For a long time, we did. And then maybe we stopped it over.
Maybe Mr. Bear is CL.
Maybe. We'll never know.
Never know.
But it is one of the original print ones. With that removed music in the Fire Temple, so that just shows how old it is. It wasn't. I know they took it out. They took the chanting out eventually.
Why did they take the chanting out?
Because it's like a Muslim prayer.
It was a prayer that they put into the game.
And I mean, it's like, they're literally like
nice.
Praying.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah. It was like, probably an accident.
I don't think it was
fitting for the dungeon.
Like, exactly. But someone thought it sounded good and they put it in the game.
They also had the Gerudo logo as like the backwards, like, logo, like, symbol
the
for
moon
Islam.
And the,
which they have later since removed as well.
I never thought of that.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember
the mirror
that.
Shield is different in, like, later.
I knew that, but I didn't know that that was the reason.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Okay. The more you know.
The more you know.
Never take any religious symbols ever and rainbow. Use them in anything.
Basically.
Make up your own bullshit.
Right.
Bone Master Ion.
Anyway, Brian, have you been up to anything specifically video game-wise?
I ain't done shit.
Good job.
That's kind of what I thought.
Very busy.
But, yeah, like I said, everybody's kind of been busy with one thing or another. But.
No, I've been... The only thing I've really been playing... I've been wanting to get back to Horizon, but I've been too busy.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I will get to it soon. I've been playing Legend of Legacy.
Oh, that's right. That was one of those games
Atlas
that you
game.
Got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that. It's pretty decent. It's got some, like, I don't know. The dungeons are interesting. Like, as you walk, they, like, pop up out of the ground.
Huh.
While you're in it. It's weird. Like, I don't know if I've seen another game that does that.
Is this one, like, a first-person view thing?
No.
Or is it? Okay.
It's, like, a third-person. It's like... Graphics-wise, it's kind of like a Crystal Chronicles style game, but as you're walking through the dungeon, like, things will pop up. Like, like monsters and like rocks and all kinds of stuff. Like the terrain itself will just kind of
spawn
show up from the edges of the screen.
I mean,
screen
it is a 3DS game.
Yeah.
So it's probably maybe
but, I mean,
not
there's a map in it.
Maybe it's
like,
not
you know,
wholly like a stylistic choice.
Oh. Hardware limitation. Like, who knows? Maybe they ran into some stuff like that and then ran with it. Like they turned it into a game mechanic after the fact.
No, it's. I mean, I think it's deliberate, and it's you know, it looks good.
Cool. Yeah, really I would. Yeah, I would assume it's deliberate one way or another. My like the question that Lorraine kind of raised was, you know,
like
did
part
they do
of the
it because
thing,
they couldn't have like a million things on screen.
Part of the thing you have to do is like uncover like 100% of the map.
Mm.
So it's it kind of
so
gives you the impression that
well that's what I was asking about the first person part.
Oh
sure.
Yeah.
It gives you the impression that you're
Persona
like uncovering uncovering the map and stuff, but even after it's uncovered it's still like that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
interesting.
Yeah. It's cool. I like it.
Is it the like story like good in it or is it kind of secondary to just like playing the game and
it's okay. I don't I'm trying to
it's
figure out
your
where
driving
it's going.
Force. For your enjoying it.
Well, because, like, so far, there's three temples. There was, like, a wind temple I did. There was a water temple and a fire temple. And I just... I killed the boss of the fire temple that drops a thing that you gotta use. And I haven't used the thing yet. Right. But once I do that, there's supposed to be another portion of the story opening up.
My gasp.
That is bigger than that.
Bigger.
So... I don't know how it's going to change,
sure,
but it will change
say, yeah.
soon. Mm-hmm.
You'll find out in a little bit.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Neato.
Good stuff.
Burrito.
That sounds like fun. And again, like more cool reasons to pull out the 3DS. That thing's not done yet. There's like releases through the end of the year. There's stuff
coming
out.
I've still
out
got
for
Fire
it.
Emblem coming out.
That too.
That's right.
It's pre-order.
It's
true
month.
That. I will play it in May. Mm-hmm.
I haven't been playing much either, but I did finally remember a thing that I can talk about that I'm pretty sure I didn't talk about on here. Which was I played a little bit of Super Hot VR.
Mm-hmm. I did that too. That was terrifying.
Lorraine
I remember.
Was, Lorraine was not pleased about playing Super Hot VR.
Dustin doesn't know I right. sent a Snapchat video of him to you.
I
and
forgot.
Lorraine.
Wait, no. No, you just ruined it. You abused
you just abused the privilege of
I don't care.
Virtual reality spectatorship.
No,
it was to a very closed audience.
It was literally just them.
Fair enough.
Also, I wouldn't have been surprised if at the one time when I was playing it, if
no,
you,
I,
if
did,
you
I did not.
Diana did that of me.
Yeah.
I did not do that. I wouldn't have
but
been
I
surprised.
Also,
I had the screen in the view too, so you could see all
yes.
of it.
Yes.
Was it without context?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm assuming it's gone, so I can't see it.
No, yeah, I didn't save it. I could have saved it.
Okay, no, that's fine.
But I saved it. Don't worry.
You can't save it. You can't. Like, yeah, you can. You can screenshot, but you
screenshot
can't.
Screenshot as hard as you can. Save every frame.
Replay.
But anyway, that game's real good. Like, I'll say that.
It's terrifying.
Like, it is.
You, he also texted that he played it. You didn't have to.
I don't care.
It's fine.
You
I'm okay.
Yourself
no
up. I'm okay with it, Lorraine.
Airing
it's
my dirty laundry.
It's fine.
To the internet.
But no, the thing about that game is that, like, it is. It is probably
out.
The second thing. It. It is probably the second thing I've played in VR that is like that makes me convinced you can make really good functional games in VR.
Yeah.
The first one is probably still.
Why am I drawing a blank?
Job Simulator.
Job Simulator. Thank you. Say the one with the robots and their
my favorite.
TV screens.
Oh my gosh,
like, Job Simulator is great. It was definitely my favorite thing in VR before this, but it's also like a kind of gameplay light.
Sure.
Like, it's not technically very, like,
I mean,
it's
job
more... Sure.
Simulator.
It's closer to the,
you do a
I
thing.
Have one of those.
On the Mario 64... On the Mario 64 to Banjo Spectrum, it's, like, leaning into Banjo territory.
Banjo's more of a game than Job Simulator.
They need, like, a VR Stanley Parable.
But actually, you know, it's not... Job Simulator kind of is not unlike Stanley Parable in that, like, it gives you specific tasks to do, but there's also funny interactions you can just find while playing it.
Yeah.
So I like Job Simulator a good deal, but I quit.
When you turned all those mutators on, it's like low gravity, you're enormous, and I don't remember, and it was bouncy.
Small hands, too.
And you were just trying to, like...
I couldn't make tea because the tea bag and the water kept flying out of the cup. And the cup was in midair. And you're, like,
sitting on the floor because you can't stand because everything is so small.
Oh, my gosh, I was crying laughing at that.
I couldn't even, like... I couldn't even try to complete anything because I was like, this is just so funny. Like, it's so fucked up that I can't do anything else.
I'll never forget glass shard soup. The best.
That game does have an excellent sense of humor.
We need to do that again.
So funny.
But super hot coffee. Yeah. Super hot VR is cool because physically, like the interaction, like I really like the physicality of Job Simulator. Super hot VR still has that, but it's also super mechanically dense.
Like, how much do you want an anxiety attack?
I mean, I get those from playing Zelda. So
not in terms of the number of mechanics, but in terms of like the mileage they get. In terms of the mileage they get out of you shooting things or throwing stuff. Like, they set up so many good gameplay scenarios for you to do with that stuff.
So scary.
It is such a well-made, like...
Do people, like, shoot at you? Like, what is
that? So Super Hot VR is a first-person...
Well, so first of all, Super Hot was a game. It's first-person game that came out on PC. You're basically... You kind of manipulate time by moving, like, stepping forward, turning your, like, head, anything.
Yeah, so it's a first-person game that has some guns in it and just objects you throw, and you walk around a first-person world.
It's like a puzzle, basically, because there's these... Just these red polygon men in this... stark white environment.
Yeah.
Like, they are coming towards you. They can, like, you can punch them, you can shoot them, throw stuff at them. Your job is to dispatch of all of them. Mm-hmm. And then, like, without dying, and then you move on to the next, like, puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like Lorraine was saying, time, so if you're standing still, pushing no buttons and doing nothing, the game basically is paused. And time only flows forward when you move through the game world. Hmm. And it basically flows relative to how fast you're moving. Yeah. So if you're kind of, like, creeping... Like if you were playing... Like,
15.
Yeah, if you're playing regular Super Hot... Yeah, exactly. And you kind of just barely touch the stick, you'll walk very slowly, and the entire world will move slowly.
Bullets,
meaning, like,
you can... Like, they'll stop
exactly.
in air, or, like slowly
enemies will walk at you very slowly, and bullets that they might have fired out of their guns will Matrix-style. They'll be, like, move a few centimeters every second or two.
I can't get out of the way.
And then the VR version of that is you've got hands and a head, so when you physically move,
the game
everything moves.
So you gotta be careful.
Yeah.
And then it's still ultimately, like, kill these rooms filled with polygon men.
I have to try that sometime.
Yeah. It's really good. And
it
like,
hard.
It basically,
it is hard.
Yeah, like Lorraine said, it is like...
But it's really cool when it's done right.
Yeah, it is a first-person game with guns, but it's not really a first-person shooter. It's more like a strategy, like, action game.
Puzzle, yeah.
And that, like, you kind of see a room layout, and you have to figure out how you're going to dispatch guys with the tools available to you. Like, you spawn a room, and like, oh, I only have two bottles and nothing else. How am I going to kill these three guys? And one way might be, like, I'll throw a bottle at this guy right in front of me. He's going to drop his gun, and I'm going to grab it out of the air and then just shoot these other two dudes with the gun I snatched away from him.
Come on.
It's nuts.
But, like, it's really something. Like, both of those games. I really like regular Super Hot, too. But Super Hot VR takes it to, like, it's a very well, like, that the gameplay they've made is very well suited for virtual reality. Because it becomes a dexterity thing, too, where it's, like, you know, I'm literally doing leaning left and right and, like, crouching down as low as I can crouch to make sure that a bullet goes over my head or whatever. And kind of sometimes doing that as slowly as I can to, like, to make sure that I've got a track of everything. Yeah, exactly. And the VR version, like, I even found myself in where I had, like, would get into maps where, like, it spawns you into a place. And like I said, they're kind of, like, almost, like, action movie themed where, like, they put you in, like, here, you're on a helicopter and, like, now murder these guys that are on the ground about to shoot your helicopter down. Or, like, you're standing at the top, like, you're standing in a graveyard and, like, you have to, like, kind of duck behind these crypts and, like, right, shoot guys who are running at you through different parts of the thing. But,
yeah.
Need to dig 6 feet before the bullet hits you.
But in VR, the thing you can do that you can't do in regular Super Hot is, like, I would even, like, after dying a couple times and knowing where, like, the, kind of the initial stuff was in a level, I'd maybe, like, be looking to the left, reaching down to, like, my lower right to pick up a thing without looking at it, and then just, like...
As opposed to in the game where you'd have to, like...
Like, stare at, look at, point the camera,
are,
like, down and
they
grab
are
a thing.
Separate things. Like, they're... It's not... Super Hot in VR.
Yeah, these are two different games.
A separate experience.
It's like a whole different set of levels, and
they just it's more of like a little like vignette type thing because I think regular Super Hot is longer than.
I think so. I haven't finished either of them, but
that's what I've heard anyway. That it is longer than the VR version.
Both those games are good, but Super Hot VR is really awesome. Lorraine did not enjoy it. Like, was that just like the like the stress of some guys coming at you in that way.
It was scary. Well, no, the only other weird kind of like almost, it wasn't so much nausea, it was just kind of like anxiety with Super Hot. But when I was playing Chunks, that roller coaster game, I like legit had like vertigo at one point. Because like you're making, like you just build these like tracks, like you just move your hand
to draw like roller coaster and track then you just, in like, space.
Pop a cart on it, and you can go and sit in it. And it was on like a dip, so the cart was moving when I went into it, and I just felt like I was falling. Like I was just standing, and it was the scariest thing. I needed a chair.
VR.
I need to go to Cedar Point. That's what I need to do.
I want to go this year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I wanted to go last year. I didn't get a chance.
We're gonna go this year. We're gonna spend the night. We're gonna get into the water park too. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, sounds
so good. Diana will come with us. Mm-hmm.
Toot water park. Anyway.
But yeah, Super Hot VR is super real good. I would. It's super the thing. Hot. It's the like I said. Super that and Job Simulator are the two things super that were hot. Like those are my premier experiences in virtual reality. So
that's
you know,
what they say in the game.
If you know somebody who gets one of those headsets and you get the chance to try it out,
Job Simulator is literally on everything.
Or, you know, if you decide to bite the bullet and you're like, all right, I'm going to plop down way too much money and buy one of these things. Like, those are the games that I would play. And I'm...
Well, Super Hot VR is only on Oculus.
So, Super Hot VR, technically an Oculus exclusive. Full disclosure, I have an HTC Vive. And I downloaded the open source Revive project, and that thing works like butter, man. So it's basically like a
shell.
Yeah, it's like an open source library that essentially like people have written basically like adapter connector scripts that redirect the calls to the Oculus proprietary like VR libraries and instead just direct them to like these open VR libraries. Mm-hmm. So it basically just lets you boot Oculus games on on the Vive.
You still have to buy the Oculus
games. Yeah, and this was, to do this, like, you could, I mean, just like anything, you know, yeah, if you're determined enough, you could steal stuff, but what I did was, I made an Oculus account, I went to the store, and I bought the games I wanted, and then I just downloaded Revive and installed it, and then you just boot up Steam, and after you downloaded Revive, there's even, like, a Revive button on, like, the Steam VR GUI, and you just click on it, and it shows all the Oculus games you have installed, and you can just click on them, and they just run. And, like, the controller bindings aren't perfect, because the controllers, like, the touch controllers on Oculus are slightly different than the Vive ones, in that they even recognize, like, the way your fingers point. Like, you can do, like, point your index finger, and it knows what that is on Oculus, or give, like, a thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
And on Vive, you know, it doesn't do any of that stuff, it just has buttons, so they have, like, basically, the developers of Revive have custom programmed. Yeah, they've custom programmed like button mappings to account for that stuff. And I found them to not be perfect, but they were good enough. Like, they were certainly good enough to not spend, you know, another $800 on a second VR setup to play everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were in the market for a VR headset, I would probably buy the Vive for that reason. Because I don't think, I haven't researched it because I haven't needed to. But to my knowledge, there's no way to go the other way. If there happens to be a Vive game that's exclusive, I don't think there's a way to play it on Oculus. But this seems like a pretty mature solution for playing Oculus exclusive games on Vive. It worked good for me.
Good that they have it.
Yeah, and I had to do, like, I was expecting, like, with some of this open source, like, kind of less than, you know, legally gray, maybe, let's say. I was expecting to maybe have to tinker with it. And I didn't have to do a thing. I clicked the executable and it installed, and then I was good. So I was impressed by that as well, but
it was a good time.
Good deal.
And with that, I think we'll get into like maybe two news items at most, and then we'll call it a show.
In the news.
I hope none of you guys wanted to get an NES Classic.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Because they don't make them anymore.
Because Nintendo hates money.
This is such a...
Is there really a big market for the NES?
Well, the thing is, there is a big market because even...
Scarcity happened.
Before they said that they were discontinuing it, like, it's been sold out perpetually. Mm-hmm. Like, if you walk into a store, you can't buy one. Like, you couldn't buy one then. Like, that's how many they were selling.
$200.
Something like that. And yeah, and like, on the secondary market, they were... Before they announced that they weren't making anymore, it looked like they were retailing for, like, a little over $100 on, like, eBay or whatever. Okay. And as soon as they like said that 60? They were done, they're, like, in the $300 to $400 range.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, clearly there are people out there who have wanted them who couldn't find them. I wanted them and wanted, couldn't find it. And then for kind of, like, when our birthdays rolled around for the next best thing, I asked my mom... she was asking me for like something I might want for my birthday, and I said, oh, they have this Japanese version of the, you know, the NES Classic. It's like a Famicom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's basically the same thing, but instead of being a tiny NES, it's a tiny Famicom.
It's so cute.
And all the HUDs in Japanese and whatever, but that doesn't really matter. Like, those games are so old that it's not like they're text heavy.
I mean, Final Fantasy is, but you're not going to play Final Fantasy.
I don't think I'm ever going to play Final Fantasy 1 or 2.
I think it's just 3, actually. I'm pretty sure that's the only one that's on. I looked at that on the back.
Anyway, yeah.
Play that on the DS.
It's better anyway.
But yeah, I wanted one, and I couldn't find one, and I was not willing to, like, I didn't want one enough to be, like, to troll around for it and go queue up at a store, like, mm-hmm. 2 hours before they opened. Like, I don't want one that bad, but if I had ever come across one in a retailer, I would have totally just bought it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, they announced they're discontinuing those, and they clearly haven't even come close to meeting, you know, demand in the marketplace.
Nope.
So, it's just a really weird play.
I mean, I'm...
You can
from
go
what,
buy a
the,
Switch.
The one, yeah. So, the one that I've heard is that they're going to start releasing these games on the Switch, so it's just like, well, this got people talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're in, we're bouncing.
You can take it with you.
That probably makes, like... I can see why someone at Nintendo would say that, but I think that's a gross misunderstanding of, like... I think that's them making the same mistake we criticized them for when they launched the Switch in terms of what they think some games, some individual games should retail for.
1-2 Switch.
Versus what they're actually, like, maybe worth relative to how much games should cost these days.
Thing in my throat. sorry.
The NES Classic, obviously the restriction there, it comes with a set 30 games. Like, you can't change them, you can't expand it or anything.
Well,
but
you can if you
it was a $60 device that came with 30 NES games.
Yeah.
So, like... $2 a game is a pretty good deal for like that kind of thing.
Even if you don't care about like half of them, that's like $4 a game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you get a fun little hardware thing, like you get an old NES controller and a fun little console.
Plug it into whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So cute.
But yeah, I could totally see like the someone at Nintendo who had a high enough position of power that they could make this like that they could say this and then make it so. Was just like, well, why are we even still making this thing when clearly the Switch is selling pretty well already, and you know, we were charging $5 an NES game on the Wii U and Wii, like, why wouldn't we just keep doing that again? But like, to me, that's like, I can see why they would think
transfer over.
I can see why someone who I would call a little out of touch would think that that's like a justifiable position. But the thing for me, it would be like, firstly, just random NES games probably shouldn't be $5. Like,
no.
Some of them can be. Like, the best of the best, for the, like, the best NES games out there, $5 is not too much to ask. But for, like, you know, Urban Champion, for, like, games that aren't very good, like, $5 is a little much to hope for.
You're going to spend $5 on Balloon Fight again, and you're going to like it.
Sure, but I think the other thing about this is
$5 for Uniracers.
I could see that,
not an NES game.
I could see that being the
reason. That would be $8.
Super NES is what I was thinking.
I could see that being the reason for discontinuing it, and if that's true,
maybe.
I think they're making the inverse mistake of the mistake that they claimed they made when they kind of, like, first addressed... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So when they first realized that there were, like, these things were never going to be in stores... The thing they said was, like, oh, we didn't think, like, the hardcore gamers, like, we didn't think hardcore Nintendo fans would even want this, because there's so many other ways for them to play NES games.
But they're
not
as convenient.
They are literally hardcore NES or Nintendo fans. They will buy anything.
Well, that's sure. That's the thing. But, like, they're
whales
lying.
Out there, man.
Wait,
they're
I don't need to keep this old-ass VCR around?
Yeah, their line, at least, was, like, this is a product, you know, just for people who know of Nintendo. Like,
guys,
we
no,
thought of
not.
It as that.
Guys.
But,
guys.
But not like the people who would buy a Switch or that already own a Wii U.
They're going to buy all of them.
When in fact, the answer was that like both those people and people who want Nintendo wanted them. And obviously the people who want Nintendo are the people who are going to show up you know, early at the store and like
buy 30 of them
obsessively
and sell
track
all
message
them.
Boards, seeing where retailers have stock or whatever.
Good job expanding your market.
But exactly. So that's my ultimate point is that by coming full circle and discontinuing this, you know... I don't know how many of those games you're going to be able to sell to, you know, people who bought an NES Classic and a Switch or who wanted to buy them, but you have totally closed off this other still, I would say, like, super viable market of people who are, like, middle of the road or even maybe a little soft on Nintendo stuff, but, like, they knew what the NES was when they were a kid.
Grandchildren.
Right, and they're, like, in the retailer,
love
like,
it.
At the checkout line, and they just see it on a shelf, and it's, like, $60. And they're like, you know what? $60 is
nostalgia.
Like an afternoon's worth of nostalgia. Like, I can totally... It's like the cost of one modern video game. I can totally justify just kind of buying this thing and plug it into the TV and playing it.
And now all you see is the accessories for it, and it doesn't exist.
I guess so.
Whoops.
It seems like a really bad idea to me.
Yes.
Unless, like I said, there's this rolling, like, the other theories are that there will be, like, rolling consoles of, like, well, maybe later this Christmas there will be, like, a new edition of this, or a SNES classic, and then they'll kind of, like, you know, every, you know, 6 to 12 months, there will be one of these on the market,
N64
but they'll be around for a little bit, and they'll be gone.
That would be real. From what I've heard, they've had a very hard time emulating N64 games, so I doubt that would be a thing. Wow. Those ROMs are a little janky.
I remember emulating them on a PC I had like 10 years ago, and I was like, it's not even a new system. Why can't I play Goemon?
I think it's just because of how weird the hardware was.
Yeah.
Like, just the
keeps crashing.
Drivers don't add up the right way. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah,
RIP NES Classic.
It just seems like a really short-sighted move.
Yes.
If the reason they're doing it is because, you know, we think we can get more for these just by selling people the digital versions to download. The other thing that it could be, but I kind of doubt, is that if theoretically these were manufactured, you know, on the same Foxconn or Foxconn equivalent facilities as the Switches for whatever reason, it is possible that they you know, we want to up Switch production because it's selling so well, and, you know, something's got to give.
Yeah.
So instead of, you know, the man hours we would have paid having them churn out this thing, which is a lesser priority, we're going to just go all Switch all the time.
I'm pretty sure I have seen one Switch on a shelf.
Yeah, the one day.
There was one.
I have not.
That is the only one I have ever seen.
But I don't go outside.
Outside of, like, when we were there to pick them up for release, there have been none, and I saw one.
My buddy pre-ordered
Uno Switch-o.
One. Pre-ordered? Or he ordered it, like, right after they came out or something like that. Mm. And he finally got his about a week ago. So, I don't know. He waited, like, 3 weeks for it or something. It was like, whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah, we'll see how that still goes, too. But
he also picked up Horizon to tie him over.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And still, like, they definitely haven't, like I said, you know, go to the grocery store once a week or whatever and, you know, go look on the shelf. They're not, like, in stores perpetually yet. The Switches. Like,
I don't necessarily drag my mom over to the electronics.
That would be funny, though.
So much more bonding, though.
That's right, yeah.
I did when Star Fox Zero came out, because they had a thing, like, through, like, I think it was, like, M-Perks, or, like, just, you got, like, $10 off if you bought it.
Mm.
So I did that and used the 10 off of my groceries.
Nice.
But we went over there, and I picked it up that day, and I was like, Star Fox. Mm-hmm. I was wearing the shirt, because it is a Star Fox shirt. That's all that matters.
But yeah,
buy the game and you're
really interesting. But if they're just abandoning the concept of that kind of project completely, like, I think that's a really short-sighted move that will come back to cost them some market share one way or another. Yeah. In terms of, like, people they should be serving in the market. Like, I feel like it makes a lot of sense for Nintendo to have products at, like, tons of different price points to get people in the door. Like I said, the other thing, that's the same thing with the 3DS in terms of, like...
It can be,
like,
hard to maintain, though.
At some point, I don't know when for sure, maybe by the end of this year, maybe later, at some point the 3DS is going to go away and the Switch will be the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
And on paper, that can be pretty good, but it also prices them out of, you know, like...
Yeah.
8-year-olds, where you can buy them, you know, an $80 2DS, and they can lose it or break it or whatever, and it's not the end of the world.
Don't want them breaking the
right. Exactly. You're like, you don't even let them hold it without like, all right, mommy's gonna sit here and
Nintendo is for like young adults.
Exactly. Like, sit you on her lap, and we're gonna play Nintendo.
Right.
And
they'll make like the Nintendo
Switch 2DS. Two Switch, two handle.
They don't come apart. They just, it's one solid unit. It's like a Wii U tablet. This is for you kids.
Frog.
Comes with a built-in screen protector.
Nintendo Switch Frog.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Bumpers and like a sneeze guard.
Sure.
In case they drop it.
Because the last thing out this is when their official announcement was said that, they were done with production for this year.
Whoa.
So even there means that, like, you know, there's a tiny little opening for maybe we'll make some more of these things someday. But
oh, you're talking about the
NES Classic, not the Switch. Yeah.
I was like, no. Whoa.
Like I said,
the Switch is doing
better than expected. But the NES Classic is no more for calendar year 2017.
Or NES
April.
So we'll see what happens. But
it's a Q1 only product.
It will be interesting. And then as far as other Nintendo stuff, I think the last thing we'll touch on before we get out of here is that there was a Nintendo Direct that just did like a roundup.
I forgot
of,
about that.
I need to get
like release dates for. I mean, it wasn't. There was nothing new in it. Like,
what do you got?
Really,
lay it on me.
But there's a bunch of new stuff coming out for the Switch, and they basically like kind of outlined like through the summer for the most part, like what the stuff is going to be. And they're like I said, it's they're off to a better start than the Wii U was in the sense that there's like games coming out. Every month, like
tell
there's
me
no
more.
Giant
tell
holes
me more.
Where there just
like,
aren't
did
things.
He have
what
a car?
Games?
Starting with, I don't know if these are in.
Who cares?
These are, but I'll just read off the list as it sits here. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe coming out April 28th, so that's in like 2 weeks or so.
Like a week.
And that's the version of Mario Kart 8 with all the stuff in it. I really like that game.
Mario Kart 9.
Shrug.
In development, probably.
Mario Kart Switch. Where's that one?
So that's coming. That'll still... That game, you know, for being a re-release, I think that game actually does kind of get something from the portable nature of, like...
Sure.
I think there's a cool use case of people just bringing their Switches and playing, like, a sit-down Mario Kart without, like, having to do split-screen nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds, like, fun to me.
Diddy Kong Switch Racing.
Ultra Street Fighter 2 is coming out May 26th, and that is another example of an incredibly overpriced, for what it is, product. They want $50 for what is essentially a slightly modified port of the Street Fighter II HD version on Xbox that originally came out for $15. It's a lot.
Wow.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I don't know about that game from how much they're trying to charge for it.
What was it? Ruthless Ken?
Violent Ken and Evil Ryu are the characters. They're the new characters that are in that version of Street Fighter 2.
Wait, Violent Ken.
Violent Ken. I think he's got like white hair.
Have they reduced any prices on Switch games?
Not that I'm aware of.
Like, just in the store or just...
not yet, anyway.
Insane clown.
I was just curious about that.
In that game.
Sure.
Minecraft is coming out May 11th, which is like...
That's surprising.
That's a big game.
Yeah.
Like... You want Minecraft on your platform. Like,
yeah,
it's one of those games at this point. Like,
it's on everything, though.
Yeah,
so.
Yes.
Well, sure. But, I mean, if it's on everything, you don't
That's
want it to not be on your thing.
To play for hours.
I mean, I like to play Minecraft on the Vita. Like, portability is cool with that game. Just pick it up and just
I had trouble getting into it.
I've played it for a while on Xbox.
So that's happening. Again, like
it's
I said, not exciting if you've played a shitlot of Minecraft already, necessarily.
Right.
But it's a good box to tick
but now
in terms
you can
of just getting more stuff
you.
Out on the thing.
Yeah.
More Neo Geo games are coming. I guess a version of Samurai Showdown is going to be out on there at some point, which, sure, why not?
The still around.
Well, you know, the holding company that, has the license to all those SNK properties still exists.
Is it Hamster? Is that who's doing it here?
That's the developer that puts out those ports.
Hamster.
It's a Japanese developer who's been putting out a lot of, like,
I think SNK exists in some form.
It's the arcade ones. They're not the pinball ones.
Yep.
On PS4.
Sonic Forces, that's the 3D Sonic game for this year, is coming out holiday season. Sonic Mania, that's the 2D throwback thing that's just coming out in summer.
I mean, that one's probably more interesting to me than the other
one. No Sonic Poles.
Project Makura, which I don't even know what that is, says summer 2017
on it. Tight.
As download only. Fate / Extella comes out July 25th.
Who knows?
Also not sure what that is. I'm just reading the list.
How now, Brown Cow?
Disgaea 5 Complete is out May 23rd. Puyo Puyo Tetris is out. I think also, there's not actually a date next to this because it just mentions that the demo's out. But I think that's also the 28th of this month. So I think that's like...
I'm going to buy that
game. 2 weeks away.
Puyo Puyo Tetris is so good.
There's a version of Monopoly coming to the Switch this fall, so look out for that.
I mean, if you're going to play a game with your family, you might as well flip the Switch over.
It's...
less expensive than the table, maybe.
Maybe.
Cynamora EX comes out summer 2017.
What is that?
Got nothing.
You're saying words.
Yep. Battle Chasers Night War comes out late summer.
What?
Oh, same.
Night War.
Got nothing, man. Payday 2 comes out in 2017.
What?
Now,
I think that
My brother was telling me about that. I played Payday 2
game?
On the PC.
Yeah, I'll say that's the game where
and
you wear masks
really
and you steal shit.
But
like, here's the
Switch?
Thing. On the Switch, I don't think it's going to be good.
Yeah, we'll see.
This is like Wii U Arkham Knight
bad. And I've heard the same thing.
You need a group.
I've heard people go to bat for Payday 2 that I would not have expected to be into Payday 2. Like, Gabe, I think, was into Payday.
It's really good if you have a team of four people.
Watched, I have watched people play this game, and it's awesome. It's interesting, but like I don't know.
It is probably a weird fit for the Switch, but you know, I mean, that's cool to see too.
If you can play it LAN, like you get four people
in the same room. Could.
No, like with the Switch.
Right. I think they talked about it having some local multiplayer that way with individual Switches.
That's the only, like, why else would you do it? Because I don't think there's any voice, like, there's no online voice in the Switch now. I don't think.
Oh, is there no voice?
It's also the other online stuff is going to be through phones.
Oh.
We shall see. Like matchmaking and stuff like that. I don't think there is, but we'll find out. Yeah. But yeah, like Lorraine said, I believe that is currently in the plan.
Yeah, that's their plan anyway.
Yeah, you need to be able to talk and communicate and Payday.
Sounds like a disaster. Because
as soon as things go loud in that game, that is it.
Right.
You got to be careful.
Namco Museum is coming out summer 2017. So if you want to play Pac-Man,
get on that shit.
Or go to Google.
they're releasing the standalone Switch dock on May 19th. So if that's a thing that you're aching for, you can buy one of those for, I think, like $80 or something. They're like stupidly, they're ridiculously expensive for that like hunk of plastic with a few ports on it.
Yeah.
Well, this is for people like, you know, if you want it on, if you want a dock on multiple televisions without having to pick the thing up and shrug. Brian, the look on your face is about right. We're putting that out as like an announcement in a press release.
I'm glad I took Tylenol. On there.
My headache is worse now. I took ibuprofen. Indeed. And it's not helping.
ARMS comes out June 16th.
I don't care about that.
If you want that,
what about
that's
a thing.
Heard of it.
And Splatoon 2 comes out July 21st.
That's so I like far. Splatoon. But
that'll probably be at least another test before it comes out.
I want to play the actual game.
None of they these did show yet off, have been enough for me to want
a thing that I'd probably be more interested in Splatoon 2. There's like a horde mode in that game now.
Ooh.
Where you play like co-op on like levels where you're just like swarmed by like enemy mobs and
that's
you just
cool.
have to kill waves of weird fish monsters.
Cool.
Yay. It looked like fun. Like it looked like a cool thing to add to that game.
Survival
mode. So that's a thing. But yeah.
Live through the night.
That's not a bad chunk of stuff.
Night of the Squid.
And almost certainly not all the stuff that'll come out this year once E3 rolls around and they get to talk about other things. So.
They're having a legit press conference. That is what they have said, unlike the past few where it's like just been their directs or whatever.
Again, they need to keep stuff coming out in a decent clip, and they need to keep telling people that stuff is coming out in a decent clip. So I would like to see one of these, like, you know, probably every 2 months or so.
It honestly seems like every week or so there's at least one new thing on the Switch.
Sure. Yeah, they're doing it. Like I said, exactly. Between some of the bigger stuff and like all the indie stuff that's going to keep flooding through there. Like
quarter three, quarter four.
I think as long as they're conscious about it, like I think things will be okay.
As long as Mario Odyssey comes out this year.
Ooh.
I guess so.
I will want that. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Mario in the title.
It sure does.
Bowser is dapper as all hell in that game.
So many hats.
You have a hat?
So many. Yeah, he does.
He throws that hat.
White tuxedo.
Oh, my.
White hat. Steel-toed boots.
As kind of Bowser should.
Classy.
You've got that metal on your those boots, man.
My Final Fantasy boots.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very classy giant dinosaur.
Good deal.
Turtle and, bowl thing of a jig.
I think that's gonna do it.
Turtle dragon.
It's a lot of stuff. Covered a lot of ground. Had a good time.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for hanging out. It was a pleasure as always.
I'm gonna go hibernate.
Yeah, me too. A little bit. Like it's just been a kind of something about today that's been a little bad. But anyway, Brian, Jillian, Lorraine, thank you all for hanging out and chatting video games.
One of those was me.
Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise.
We will be back in the nearest future with more Valkyria Chronicles as that game is almost done.
I'm still guessing at least 2 more weeks.
Sure.
I don't think I'm getting 2 chapters done on Thursday.
We'll play something else on the internet. Probably play some Persona at some point.
Can't wait. I want Persona real bad.
And we'll keep recording podcasts like these, so...
Woo!
Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in the near future. We'll be back in the near future with some Puma Man.
So long.
So see you later, Internet. We'll catch you next time.
Bye. Bye.